Welcome to the Josh Meister's Lost podcast, the audio version of the Josh Meister's Lost blog, which you can find at thelostmeister.blogspot.com. Hey everybody, this is the Josh Meister, and welcome back to the Josh Meister's Lost podcast. We just got finished watching Season 6, Episode 5, which is called Lighthouse. We have one person called in so far, B. Wood. How's it going?
Good.
So, let's see. So here's what we've got so far for tonight. First of all, a quick note from the official Lost podcast. They mentioned that the date on the ultrasound, Claire's ultrasound, in the 2004 alternate timeline, or flash sideways, as they like to call it, was actually a prop error. So the Oceanic Flight 815 did not actually land safely in LAX on October 22nd, 2004. It really was supposed to be September 22nd, 2004, as in the original timeline. Just a clarification on that.
Yeah, they said that, but I think they're messing with us. Because if you look at Jack's seat, his seat number in the alt timeline is 24. His original seat number in 815 was 23, and that's his number on the wall. That's his Jacob number, or whatever, Men in Black number.
Huh. Well, but there have been a lot of prop errors. One of the things that we're going to talk about a little bit later, kind of an Easter egg from this show, is the episode we just watched, that is, was that some of the names that were written in the cave have different numbers when they're written on the inside the lighthouse. So
yeah, they're messing with us. They're giving us options. They're saying, okay, either that cave is Jacob's or Men in Black's. They're saying that either Men in Black Locke is lying to Sawyer and, you know, has this alternate cave that he keeps track of everything that Jacob's doing in his own way to try to get to convince people to do what he wants them to do. But Jacob, he's got the lighthouse. I mean, we've never seen that. I mean, why didn't they find that? They even reference it. They're like, why didn't we ever see this? Where did this come from?
So, okay, so did I understand correctly that you think that maybe the Man in Black wrote the names on the wall or in the cave or something like that?
Yeah, somehow they're going to show us how Man in Black got all the names that Jacob wrote down, and he did that himself to manipulate. It's all about manipulation. It's a game. It's about going around the rules. They have rules that you.
Well, that's an interesting theory though about the cave. All right, well, let's dig into this episode. So, yeah, Season 6, Episode 5, Lighthouse. So we start out in 2004. Jack looks in the mirror and sees that he has an appendix removal scar. And he talks to his mom on the phone and says, you know, do you remember me having my appendix removed? It's kind of weird because that's the kind of thing that you'd think that you'd remember, at least kind of remember having happened. It could be possibly sort of a thing related to, you know, the other sort of, we get these little hints every now and then that these characters in this alternate timeline are kind of maybe having little flashes where they sort of seem to remember parts of this original timeline. There's sort of been a few hints like that, and this sort of seemed to be another one of those things where he looks in the mirror and he doesn't really seem to remember this. Because perhaps in the original timeline, maybe it didn't happen exactly the same way. Of course, in the original timeline, Juliet removed it on the island in Season 4, Episode 10, Something Nice Back Home. I read an interesting theory about this on a site called Republibot. The theory is that this is not a parallel timeline so much as it is a time-displaced continuation of their subjective timelines. And so I thought that was kind of an interesting idea, that rather than the two timelines being separate, you know, somehow these timelines go together. They're not entirely separate. Maybe that could be the answer to that. again, that they're time-displaced continuations of their previous timelines, as opposed to being completely separate parallel timelines. Then we find out that Jack apparently has a son whose name is David, we find out. Apparently then his name is David Shepherd, and of course David from the Bible was a shepherd. We don't know, we never find out in this episode though who David's mother is. So that's kind of interesting. So we don't know whether it's Sarah or what happened there, but we do know that Jack and David's mother live someplace separately from each other. In 2007, Jacob shows up and talks to Hurley and says, "I'm here because I need you. Someone is coming to the island. I need you to help them find it." And we maybe sort of find out later that that isn't necessarily true. It's kind of ambiguous because it seems that Jacob at least had ulterior motives as far as getting him to go on this little adventure in the episode. But Jacob did eventually tell Hurley later that somebody would, you know, the person coming to the island would have to find another way than, you know, by seeing the lighthouse. So that was kind of an interesting thing. They do leave it a little bit ambiguous as to whether there really is a person coming to the island or whether that was just something that Jacob was telling Hurley in order to get Jack to go with him. In 2004, we find out that Jack's son apparently doesn't get along very well with Jack, and he indicates that he only sees Jack about once a month. In 2007, Jin asks Claire, "How long have you been out here?" And Claire says, "Since you all left." And I thought that was a really interesting comment. Or, you know, why does Claire think that they left her? Because she's the one who left them in the middle of the night to follow after her father, or what seemed to be her father, Christian Shepherd. And so that's sort of a weird thing. It's almost as though her recollection of events has changed in some way. So I just thought that was kind of interesting. She says, "Since you all left." Bailey Bear in the chat says, Smokey probably told her that. And James721 says, "Brainwashed by Christian." And B Wood in the chat says, "Or they're friends." Guest16 says, brainwashed by Locke. Which, yeah, I don't know. I think that might have been what, B Wood was trying to say, referring to Claire's new friend, being the man in black. Okay, so Jacob tells Hurley to tell Dogan that he, Hurley, is a candidate. After Dogan kind of catches Hurley looking through the ruins, and so Hurley does so, he says, "Dude, I'm a candidate." Dogan asks, "You know, who told you that?" And Hurley doesn't directly say, "Oh, Jacob told me that." And Dogan says something in Japanese, that, and then walks off, and Jacob refuses to translate the what Dogan said, saying instead, telling Hurley, "You don't want to know." So it's kind of an interesting thing that maybe somebody out there has the translation of that. I did not see that yet on Dark UFO's Easter eggs page or on Sledgeweb's Lost site. So I don't know if anyone does find a translation of that, of what Dogan said in Japanese, let me know, and I'll mention that on the podcast. All right. So Jacob tells Hurley that he needs to take Jack with him, but Hurley says that Jack will refuse. So Jacob apparently told Hurley to tell Jack, "You have what it takes." And so Hurley does, that's exactly what he tells Jack, and that seems to work. It kind of surprises Jack, it shakes him up, and Jack decides to follow after Hurley after all on this little adventure. Meanwhile, Claire is talking to Jin, and she says, "If there's one thing that will kill you around here, it's infection." And I thought that was interesting to write down in my notes because, of course, you know, based on Dogan's perspective, Claire is actually infected. So I thought that was kind of funny for Claire to be commenting on infection. It's kind of a reference to Rousseau in a way, you know, how Rousseau always thinks that everyone else is infected. And apparently, based on everything that we know about Claire and how she's acting and dressing and everything like that, it seems to me that it probably was Danielle that was infected all along. And so it's kind of interesting that the people who are infected think that other people than themselves are who is actually infected. Jin says, Claire, have you been out here all this time by yourself? And Claire says, oh no, I'm not by myself. And she doesn't fully explain that yet, but we get a little bit of an answer to that later. The other who survived, and I tried to find his name in my notes and I couldn't find it. I can't remember if it was Jeremy or something, but, in any case, he tells Jin after Claire kind of walks off that, that Claire is going to kill both of them. And, you know, Jin kind of says, well, I know her. And the other says, no, I really know her and she's going to kill us. So apparently, the others at the temple have had dealings with Claire, with Psycho Claire, Claire Rousseau, if you want to call her that, in the past. So Jack, meanwhile, sees Claire at a river. So he's following Hurley, and then he sees a bag and looks down at this river, this little stream, and sees Kate there, and Kate pulls a gun and almost shoots Jack. Jack invites her to come along, but Kate says she's going to find Claire, and Hurley says, dude, you know, we're not supposed to bring her with us anyway, because Jacob only wanted the two of us to go. Guest 16 in the chat asks, does Claire know she was infected? My guess is no, probably not. And the reason I think that is because, you know, based on what we know of Rousseau and how they seem to be both kind of acting the same and so forth, and how Danielle didn't think that she was infected, but she thought the other members of her team were in fact infected. That seems to me to indicate that Claire is probably going to be the same way. She doesn't realize she's infected. She thinks that all these other things are happening to her. She thinks she has these delusions that the others at the temple took her baby, even though she left her own baby behind. So I'm guessing that Claire probably does not know that she's infected. Bailey Bear had a good comment in the chat here. She says, I knew as soon as Jin said, Kate has your baby, Kate was a goner, but Jin saved Kate, with a later comment that he made, or that Jin made to Claire, that is. B. Wood in the chat had a good comment too, that, that Rousseau tortured Saeed, the same way Dogen did. I'm not sure. I don't recall whether the torture tactic that Rousseau used against Saeed was the same, but it did remind me of something that was in this episode, where Claire actually indicated she was telling Jin that the others had branded her. And she showed a burn scar that she had on her arm, which, of course, is very reminiscent of what Dogen did to Saeed to test him to see if Saeed had the infection. So that was interesting. Another comment from guest 16 in the chat. The man in black wants to recruit her, presumably Claire, so he lies to her to turn her against the temple. It seems to me, based on what we learn later in this episode, that that Claire is probably already recruited, if you want to say, you know, use that term, because she refers to the man in black as her friend. So it would seem to be the case that, you know, and this kind of goes along too with what Dogen was saying about Saeed and how Saeed became infected. And how this darkness would enter his heart, or, you know, however exactly he put it. It seems to be the case that the same thing, you know, and he tells Jack that the same thing happened to your sister. So apparently the darkness has overcome Claire's heart or whatever. And so now she is sort of subject to the Man in Black, or at least in league with the Man in Black. She refers to him as her friend. All right, so Kate decides that she's, rather than going along with Jack, she says she's going to go find Claire. So we'll see what ends up happening with that. That could be an interesting confrontation, especially after what Jin said to Claire about Kate having raised Aaron. If Kate brings this up, then of course Claire is going to know that Jin was lying about having lied, and that Kate really did raise Aaron, and then she's not going to trust Jin, and she's also going to want to kill Kate anyway. So that could be quite a mess if Kate shows up while Claire is on the way back to the temple. All right, in 2004, in the alternate timeline, Jack's mom finds Christian's will, and as she's reading it, she comes across a name that she doesn't recognize. She asks Jack if he recognizes the name Claire Littleton, and Jack doesn't seem to, although, you know, it's kind of difficult to tell from his expression. And of course, little does Jack know at this time that that Claire Littleton was actually on the plane with him. And so it would seem that Christian apparently never told his wife about his daughter in Australia, which probably isn't too big of a surprise. In 2007, Jack finds Shannon's asthma inhaler at the caves, and Hurley sees the skeletons at the caves and asks, what if these skeletons are us? And he kind of talks about this, you know, what if we, like, traveled back in time to, like, the dinosaur period or something, and, like, what if these guys are us? Well, of course, you might recall from season one that one of them is female, according to Jack's assessment. So obviously it's not the two of them, as in Jack and Hurley. But it's interesting that at least they brought up the skeletons again. And, you know, I'm hopeful. I hope that they eventually explain the skeletons. I mean, just the fact that they brought them back to our recollection in this episode, showing them there and having a conversation about them, seems to me to indicate that they probably are going to answer that after all. So that'll be cool if they end up doing that. And also Jack explains to Hurley the real reason why he found the caves was that he had been following, you know, this apparition of his father, the ghost of his father, I think is how he put it. And that's how he came across this empty coffin. And at first he doesn't explain that the coffin was empty, and Hurley asks, well, why'd you smash up your dad's coffin? And then that's when Jack gives the answer, because it was empty. So I don't know if that's really an explanation as to why he would smash the coffin, but it's never really been explained on the show why the coffin was empty. It seemed quite a while back, you know, after we sort of found out that the smoke monster could pose as other people, and as was the case with Yemi, Yemi's body wasn't there anymore. And so for a while there was this theory that based on Christian's missing body and Yemi's missing body, that the smoke monster apparently needed to take someone's body in order to pretend to be that person, to sort of transform into, you know, the appearance of someone else who had died. However, we know that that's not the case as far as Locke is concerned, because his body was, of course, being dragged across the island, you know, and to warn Jacob and so forth. And so that was never really explained. And I don't know if that's originally why Christian's body was missing, but we still don't really have an explanation for that. All right. In the 2004 alternate timeline, Jack can't find his son, David, when he gets back from his mom's house. So he goes over to David's mother's house to look for him. And there's a message on the answering machine that seems to indicate that David is probably at a conservatory, is I think the word that was used. In 2007, on the island, in the original timeline, Hurley tells Jack why he came back to the island. Basically, you know, Jacob showed up in my taxi cab and told me to come back. And Jack kind of laughs, and Hurley asks Jack why he came back, and Jack explains, I came back here because I was broken, and I was stupid enough to think that this place could fix me. So he apparently doesn't have a lot of faith in the island at this point. Okay, so they find the lighthouse on the beach, and Jack wonders why they've never seen it before, and Hurley says, well, I guess it's just because we've never looked for it before. And of course, I think the reason that Jack asks this question is because this is what a lot of viewers are going to be wondering when they see this lighthouse. It's like, well, wait, how come we haven't seen that? You know, we've seen them sail around the island, or at least part of the island, and so forth. So it's kind of one of those things where the writers are kind of having the characters ask the same questions that the viewers are going to be asking to sort of prevent them from finding fault with the show, I guess. Ratface asks an interesting question that's not exactly pertinent to what we're talking about at the moment, but you know, it's worth bringing up. The question is, all I want to know is, where on the island is that dog Vincent? And that's a good question. We do know that apparently Vincent was back in the 1970s because he was living with Rose and Bernard, if I'm remembering that correctly. But after the explosion in 1977, after the incident and the explosion or detonation of the hydrogen bomb, we know that Jack and Kate and so forth all came back to 2007 on the island. So presumably that means that Rose and Bernard and Vincent are also back on the island in 2007 somewhere, but we haven't seen them yet. Okay, so Jin tells Claire that Kate took Erin and has been raising her for 3 years and is trying to save this other's life and by corroborating the story, and Claire kills the other anyway. And so this is what sort of leads Jin to later lie to Claire and side with her version of the story, which is that the others have Erin and there's no other possibility. You know, she knows that they have him. And so getting back to Jack and Hurley, the door to the lighthouse is stuck. And Jack asks if Hurley has anything written on his arm about that. Hurley, by the way, had written down some notes on his arm because Jacob said, you're going to want to write these things down. So he gave him some specific instructions. Justin, that's what it is. Bailey Bear reminded me in the chat. It was actually Justin was the name of the other. I couldn't think. I was thinking Jeremy, but I knew that wasn't right. So, yeah, Justin, thanks. So, in any case, the door is stuck, and Hurley doesn't have anything written on his arm about this. So Jack kicks down the door to the lighthouse. So we're finally seeing Jack, you know, being a cool, you know, tough guy. Which we haven't really seen much this season, I don't think. 2004, Jack sees David playing the piano at the conservatory. Apparently, it looks like it's some sort of competition. And interestingly, there's this Japanese boy who tells Jack that David, you know, is a really good piano player. And the boy, you know, walks over to his father and we see him from behind. And of course it looks like Dogen. And sure enough, it turns out to be Dogen. And, so Dogen talks to Jack and asks, how long David has been playing. And Jack says he doesn't know. In 2007, Hurley says that the mirrors around this sort of what looks like a fire pit in the lighthouse, the mirrors need to be turned to 108 degrees in order to light the fire. And at each of the degrees on this big circle, there's a name written next to each of the degrees. And so all of those numbers that we saw last week in the cave that corresponded to each of the survivors and other people who have come to the island actually line up with the numbers on this, I keep wanting to call it a sundial, but whatever this is, the big ring with different notches, with numbered notches all the way around this sort of fire pit in the lighthouse. Each one of those numbers corresponds to a name. So Jax, for example, was 23, and it said Shepherd next to it. It was handwritten in. B. Wood in the chat points out that there's a lighthouse in Jacob's tapestry at the bottom. Okay, so Jack turns the lighthouse mirrors to 23 degrees so that his name will come up. He sees, as Hurley is turning the mirrors, there's some sort of weird flash that he sees. And so he turns it to 23 for his name and sees the house that he grew up in the mirror. And so Jack realizes that Jacob's been watching them this whole time. And Jack says, I want to know why he was watching me. I want to know right now. And Hurley says, well, dude, I can't, you know, basically I can't just summon Jacob. It doesn't work like that. And so in a fit of rage, Jack smashes all the mirrors with a pipe. And of course, I wondered at the time, you know, was this Jacob's plan? Did he want Jack to come smash the mirrors in the lighthouse? And if so, you know, of course, why would be the question there. And of course, we find out later that wasn't exactly Jacob's plan, but Jacob did have a specific reason for Jacob going to the lighthouse, which was apparently to see his name and to see the mirror looking at his house. And so he would know that he's an important person. In 2004, David tells Jack that he didn't want Jack to see him fail, and that's why he wasn't, you know, he didn't tell Jack where he was going. And Jack tells his son David about his own father, Christian, and how, you know, basically he never did anything right as far as his father was concerned and that sort of thing. And specifically, I think he said, you know, my father told me, you don't have what it takes. Of course, earlier in the episode, Jacob told Hurley to tell Jack, you have what it takes. And so it was, you know, sort of the exact opposite of what Christian used to tell Jack when he was a little boy. And so, of course, that's why, Jack recognized, in a manner of speaking, what Hurley told him. And presumably, of course, that's why Jack decided to go along with Hurley, even though he doesn't, you know, probably doesn't exactly believe in Hurley seeing this dead Jacob. And so Jack basically tells his son David, you know, in my eyes, you can never fail. And so they have sort of a touching father-son moment. And Jack invites David to go back to the house for some pizza. And that's the end of the alternate timeline in this episode. Let's see here. So 2007, Jacob's plan was for Jack to see what was in the mirror so he could see how important he is. Jacob said to Hurley, I had to get you and Jack as far away from that temple as I could because someone's coming here, someone bad. You can't warn them, Hugo. I'm sorry, it's too late, he says. So that's interesting. You know, presumably, based on what we see in a few minutes in the episode, I think he's probably, at first I thought maybe he's talking about Claire. But then it seems that the man in black is probably a lot worse of a person than Claire. And that's probably who Jacob was referring to as going to the temple. So, and then Jin lies to Claire and tells her what she wants to hear, that Aaron is actually at the temple and he'll help her get in. And Claire says, that if what Jin said about Kate had been true, that she'd kill Kate. And then fake Locke shows up and Jin says, John, you know, just shocked to see him alive. And Claire says, that's not John. This is my friend. And so, and that's basically where the episode ends. So Claire knows that this is actually the man in black, or at least she knows that he's someone different from John. And she recognizes him in that disguise. Which, you know, it's very interesting that the whole idea that Claire calls the man in black her friend seems to me to indicate that, you know, to prove Dogen's point that the darkness has sort of overcome her, even though she may not see herself as being evil, you know, she thinks that she's been wronged and so forth. Obviously being in league with Jacob's enemy seems to mean that Claire is a kind of a bad guy at this point. And guest 16 in the chat asks, doesn't Claire remember him? And my guess is that Claire remembers John Locke, but she also realizes that this isn't John Locke and that it actually is the Man in Black. Or she doesn't know him as the Man in Black, but, you know, that he's somebody different and a friend to her. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and kind of wrap up the show. We've got a couple of Easter eggs. Basically, we kind of talked about them already, but there's some screen caps of the names in the lighthouse. And I'll of course put up links to those on the blog, and I'm putting them in the chat right now for people who want to look at those. And they just have a ton of names on them. And so there were a few comments that people had earlier. Josh Spivvy, as I call him, from the Lost Flashbacks podcast, was here, and he pointed out that the numbers for Burke, the last name Burke, don't match. They were 58 in the lighthouse and 55 in the cave. And also Faraday doesn't match either. It's 101 in the lighthouse and 761 in the cave. And Amanda, also from Lost Flashbacks, pointed out, she said, I bet the hand-drawn number from the cave was probably misinterpreted or misread. So that's an interesting idea there, that either... An alternate theory that I sort of came up with, at least for Burke, and I don't know if this necessarily fits for Faraday, but of course we know Juliet Burke is one possible Burke, and we know that she's been on the island and so forth. Also, her husband had the last name of Burke as well. So, of course, as far as we know, he was never on the island, but at least we do know there are two Burkes that have been on the show. Faraday's, though... you know, the only Faraday that we know of on the show, of course, is Daniel Faraday. So another theory, of course, is that this is a prop error. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, there are prop errors on the show. There are some prop things. And of course, the numbers in the cave, as well as the numbers in the lighthouse, are kind of potentially prop things that could have, you know, been... There could be mistakes related to those things. So I wouldn't read too much into the fact that the numbers are different, especially for less significant characters. We don't really even know for sure that Burke necessarily means Juliet or that Faraday necessarily means Daniel Faraday. But of course, those would be kind of our best guesses based on the characters that we know. Bailey Bear asks, was Kate on the wheel? And we actually talked about this earlier in the chat before we started recording. Kate is on the wheel, and if I remember right, I think her number was 51. I shouldn't say Kate, but it says Austin, so we can presume that probably means Kate. Of course, there's also Sam Austin as well, but as far as we know, only Kate has been on the island. James721 pointed out before we started recording that 109 is the number apparently Mr. Friendly, Tom Friendly. It just says Friendly on the dial in the lighthouse. It was pointed out that some names are darker than others, and Icebird had a theory that maybe Shepherd was written in later. Shepherd was one of the names that was darker on the wheel. Guest 16 asks, who's Mr. Friendly? That was the one that Sawyer called Zeke, you know, the other who had the fake beard and so forth. Friendly was, I think, originally kind of I don't know if it was a fan nickname or what, but they ended up actually adopting that name, and it became his real name on the show. Or maybe that was a set nickname or kind of an inside joke thing. I don't know. But in any case, it ended up being really his name. His name was Tom Friendly. All right. So I think that's about it as far as Easter eggs. I know there are other names, certainly, that if you look through the screen caps, or, you know, I'm sure Lostpedia already has probably all of those names written up on the candidates article. I don't really have the only thing I have in the way of spoilers this week is just from the preview. So, and there really was almost nothing in the preview. It was kind of funny because I don't know. They were trying to be funny, I guess, and they showed a bunch of static and said, all we can show you from next week is, you know, these two tiny little clips and these couple of seconds. And so there were two lines, and the only thing that they showed us that I, you know, noticed was Claire said, "You're going to hurt them," and the man in black said, "Only the ones who won't listen." And that's about it. So apparently it seems like, you know, reading into this and kind of going back to what we were discussing earlier about, you know, Jacob saying that someone bad is going to the temple. Presumably Claire and the man in black are going to go with Jin back to the temple. All right. Well, that'll do it for this week. We actually made it under an hour this week. It's awesome. So, all right. Thanks to everybody for calling in and also for participating in the chat. It's been a lot of fun. Also, just a reminder for those participating in the live show or those who love listening to it, I'm accepting donations, but not for the sake of making profit. But again, I'm unable to get ABC through my regular antenna. I do have a digital tuner in my TV, but alas, ABC is not one of the channels that I can pick up with my antenna. And I've even tried different antennas. I cannot get ABC no matter what I do. So I had to basically pay for cable, the cheapest plan that they had, just so that I could get Lost, just so that I could do this live podcast. So I'm spending, it was like a $20 activation fee and $20 a month just so I can do this show for you guys. So if anybody can donate a little bit to help me out, I would appreciate it. I've gotten a couple of donations so far, and thank you very much to those who have donated. I truly do appreciate that. It makes me feel like I'm loved enough to actually continue this show. So I appreciate that. So anybody who hasn't donated yet, if you would like to, you can. Again, if it ever came to the point where I made enough that I didn't need any more in order to pay off the cable bills, then I will absolutely let you know. But as of right now, it doesn't look like it's probably going to get to that point. So anything that you can donate, I would appreciate. There are links to that up on thelostmeister.blogspot.com. Guest 16 asks in the chat, is this show every Tuesday? Yes, in fact it is. I record every week right after Lost finishes airing in the Pacific time zone. So again, thanks everybody for being here, and hope to see you next week. Until next time, stay lost and namaste. If you have a product or service that you'd like to market to thousands of Lost fans, find out how you can become a sponsor of this podcast. Send an email to thelostmeister@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Please check out the Josh Meister's Lost blog for links related to this podcast. The address again is thelostmeister, that's thelostmeister.blogspot.com. Thank you, and namaste.